get to the message, we're going to open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and just jump right into it this morning. Is that okay with y'all? Can we do that? All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is the verse that we are going to be focusing in on today, or this idea. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Run to win. No participation trophies, y'all. Come on, all right? Next scripture. "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing." Come on, y'all. Everybody say, "I run." Now say, "with purpose." We're talking about running with purpose. Running with purpose today. That's the title of the message, is "Run with Purpose." And I love this idea of running with purpose, because y'all know in 2025 in America, we do a lot of running. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all do a lot of running. We run to the ball games. We run to, right? We run to the ball games. We run to the dance. We run to the concert. We run to Walmart, you know. We run back into Walmart because we forgot something. You know, we're running around. We're constantly trying to keep our schedule. And we're trying to do all these things. And then we're trying to make sure that we look good while we're doing it. We're trying not to mess up. And we do all this running. And we get home after a day of running. And you get on social media. And you see all the people. It looks like they ran better than you that day. Come on. So what do you tell yourself? You say, "Tomorrow, I'm going to run even more." Now, I like to say it like this. I think in America, with all the running we do, I think more times than not, we're kind of like, you know, octopus on roller skates. You know, a whole lot of movement, but you're not going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Right? And this is what I want to get at. If all we're doing is running, if all you're doing is running just like everybody else, if that's all you're doing, sooner or later, you're going to run out. If all you're doing is running just like everybody else in America in 2025, sooner or later, you're going to run out. And that's why this idea of running with purpose makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. That little phrase, "So I run with purpose." Everybody say, "with purpose." Now, the way I look at it is this, okay? Whenever I was growing up, I played baseball in high school and everything like that. And the people in track would make fun of us with baseball, okay? Because, listen, I hate running. Anybody else in here hate running? I know y'all do, because last week I said something about who worked out this week. And everybody, there's like two people in a room of 200 that actually, I know y'all hate running, okay? Y'all like me. So the track people would make fun of us on the baseball team. They said, "What is baseball? Y'all just sit there the whole game." And I'm like, yes, that's why it's awesome, okay? I already love the sports. You don't have to convince me, okay? I love it. And so I get this idea. I get this idea of running with purpose, because y'all know I haven't run in a while, and I try and get back into it. I get my shoes on. I get them laced up, and I get out there. I'm running through the neighborhood, and I start to feel like somebody's stabbing me in the side. You know what I'm talking about? I get that conflicting feeling of I don't know if I want to pass out or throw up, you know, and it's just terrible. And you're going, it feels like it's been 3 hours, and then you look down, and you've run like a quarter of a mile. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, I'll tell you what, this is the thing. I love baseball, and I love soccer, two different sports, and one's a lot of running. But look, you put a ball at my feet or in my hands, and I'm just going to keep going. Is anybody else like that? Okay. Listen, I went out there with some of the youth one day, and I just decided I was going to track it on my watch. We were just playing soccer, running around, having fun. That was it. I wasn't worried about, you know, how many miles or anything like that. We were having a blast. It was so awesome. We were kicking, and at the end of it, I was like, man, I'm upset that this is over. I want to keep going. And I looked down. I had run 4 miles, y'all, because there was purpose with the running. Because there was purpose with the running. So listen, I want us to realize this, is that if we run with purpose, then you can keep on running, y'all. Come on. It's the right kind of running. The right kind of running. And so what I want us to look at is this idea of purpose today. The idea of purpose. And so the first point is this. The first point is this, is there is potential in your purpose. We're going to discover, we're going to look at our purpose. That's what we're going to look at. If the Apostle Paul says the difference is not just running, but the difference is running with purpose, then we have to realize that there's so much potential in your purpose. And as I was thinking about this and as I was praying about this message, I thought about way back in high school, okay? And we talked about this type, all the different types of energy, right? We got the chemical energy. We have kinetic energy when you're moving, all that kind of stuff. Anybody remember potential energy? Does anybody remember potential energy? Did you know? Yeah, that was very mixed. So I didn't pay attention in high school. Okay, that's all right. Let me explain it for you real quick, okay? Let me explain it for you, okay? The potential energy is energy that's stored, okay? It's stored up. It's waiting to be released, okay? It's like a spring that's been just wound up, pushed back. Or it's like a rubber band that's been pulled. Hold on, I gotta put the microphone down. Hold on a minute. Y'all know you're getting a souvenir this morning, okay? It's like a rubber band that's been pulled back. It doesn't look very impressive right now. It's just still not doing anything. But it's got all the potential in that rubber band. And it's waiting to be released. I'm sorry if I hit somebody, okay? Did y'all see that? We got potential being released. There we go, right? Does anybody else want one? Oh, I'm getting shot back. I did not think this illustration through. I'm in danger this morning. But here's this picture, right? When the rubber band is released, okay, the potential being released, that right there is when you discover your purpose. When you discover the God-given purpose that you have is when the potential that God has placed inside of you is released. And then you take off. Come on, somebody. That's what it is. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you've got potential. I've always wondered, is that a compliment? There is potential in your purpose. Now, listen to this. How do you release that energy? How do you release that power? Here's the crazy. If you guys know Latin or Spanish or any of those languages that come from Latin, potential comes from potent, powerful. Whoo! Potential energy. The potential that is in your purpose that God has put inside you, how he has crafted you, how he has designed you, there's some power in that purpose. There's some power in that purpose. So how do we release it? If it's there, and believe me, it's there. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't know it, it's there. How do we release it? Look at what God tells the prophet Habakkuk, okay? Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, the Lord answered me. He said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Make the vision plain. Write this vision down. And here's the key. How does that apply to your life? God had this vision that he gave the prophet Habakkuk, and I want to tell you something. God has a vision for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. The Bible says before time began, God had an idea in his head, and it was you. The way he crafted you, the way he designed you, the things that you like, the things you don't like, the things that you just pick up naturally. He had this in his mind before time even began. And this is what he wants you to do. Discover it. Figure it out. Make it plain and obvious for yourself. And when you see that vision and that plan for your life, you're going to start running. And that's good, y'all. I don't know. Y'all need to wake up this morning. Come on. We need to make that coffee a little stronger this morning. Come on, y'all. Come on. So, hey, if we want to see that potential, we want to do the right kind of running, okay? If we want to do that right kind of running, we're going to have to do a few things. And the first one is this. Believe that you've got an eternal purpose. You can't just have a preacher up here saying it on a Sunday morning and then it goes one ear out the other. No, no, no. Deep down in the heart, we got to believe that you have an eternal purpose. That you have a purpose that is more than what everybody else in the world's got. You've got a purpose that is for all time, that is straight from the throne of God. Listen to what he says to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, recently we got a new administration and they're doing all these appointments, right? Have y'all seen that in the news, right? They're doing, I appoint this person over this, I appoint this person over this, and they got to go through this whole process. And then everybody says all the bad things about them, all the good things about them, and then they have a vote, and then they got to confirm all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you what, when God appoints you as something, he ain't got to wait for confirmation. The plan and the purpose that he has for you, he has appointed you with an eternal purpose. And deep down in your heart, it can't be head knowledge, it's got to be heart knowledge. You got to know, you got to believe that you have an eternal purpose. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And I don't know who needs to hear that today, but I'm going to say it again. You were created on purpose for a purpose. God doesn't make accidents. God doesn't make accidents. You were created on purpose for a purpose. If you got a pulse, you got a purpose. You got to believe that this morning, deep down in your heart. And now look, this is what I want to get at. In the Bible, it says this. We got two kinds of purposes, okay? Two kinds of purposes, okay? First one is we've got a corporate purpose, a shared purpose. Every single person in this room has the same exact purpose, okay? And then the second kind is the individual purpose. And what that means is how you as an individual, completely unique and different, help the team to accomplish the corporate purpose. We got a corporate purpose, we got an individual purpose. It's like in sports, okay? It's like in sports, and if you're not into sports, I'm sorry, I just realized there's two sports analogies today. I'm really sorry, okay? But it's like in sports, and because we're in Louisiana, can we talk about LSU football? 2019, we'd be more excited about that, but okay, it's all good. But it's like football, right? The whole team has a corporate purpose. Score more touchdowns than the other team. There's not one person on that team, on that field, on that bench that don't have that purpose. They all share that purpose. But then you've got the individual purpose all throughout the team, right? You've got this person who's maybe really smart. They make really good decisions. They got a really strong arm and they can throw it. You know, throw the football 100 yards, okay? And that person is the, hey, there we go. I can use sports analogies. That's okay, right? We got the other guy, right, who's really, really fast, okay? And they got a wingspan of like 8 foot. And anytime they can get their hands on anything. They can catch anything. And that person is the receiver. Man, you guys are good. Look at y'all. Y'all need to go replace Coach Kelly. It's the truth. Okay, sorry. And then we've got those big boys that never skip a meal. And those are the coaches, right? See, they all got the same shared purpose, but they got their unique individual purpose. And it's the same in the family of God. It's the same in the family of God. We're no different. We all have the corporate shared purpose to know God and to make him known. To glorify him and to bring others into the family to glorify him as well. To enjoy God and to point others to how good, merciful, powerful, forgiving he is. That's our purpose. We all share that purpose. Every single one of us. Now, look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this. We are God's masterpiece. Everybody say masterpiece. That helps you have some of that heart knowledge right there, okay? Because there's mornings where you wake up, you don't feel like a masterpiece. Come on, y'all. Especially right after you get up and you look yourself in the mirror. You're like, do I look like that? Okay, anyways, right? But you are God's masterpiece. And look at what it says. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. You are created by God as a masterpiece with a purpose. You were created on purpose for a purpose to make him known amongst the nations. Now we got to figure out on that individual level, how do I do that? How do me, I, individually do that, right? And this is the thing I want to get to it. When we get to it, we'll see what that means. So the second point is this. If the first point is we got to believe we have an eternal purpose, the second point is this, is we got to discover what that purpose is. God wants to use you to make an eternal difference in the world. Like I said, don't just believe you've got a purpose. Believe you've got an eternal purpose straight from the throne of God to change the world around you. But look at this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says this. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, has anybody ever actually gotten water out of a well before? Okay. So you guys are like, the fridge? You know? When you're actually drawing water out of a well, it's work. It's a process. But man, it's so worth it. It's life-giving on the other end of it. You got to work to draw out that purpose that's deep, deep, deep in your heart like a well. So what does that mean? Psalm 139 verse 14 says this, I praise you, O God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The goal of what I'm talking about right now, when I'm encouraging you to discover what your individual purpose is this. This is the purpose, okay, of you finding your purpose. A lot of purpose, okay? The purpose of that is this, is that you would be able to look at this scripture and not just say this, but say, I know it. We can say, God, I know that you do great things and all that kind of stuff, but I know that about me, it's true. I know that you have created me fearfully and wonderfully. The whole idea of discovering your purpose is to be able to say, I know it full well. And one of the things I like to say is this, and we kind of talked about it with the football team earlier, right, is we believe that your design helps to reveal your destiny. So if we're going to try and figure out what our purpose is, discover what my individual purpose is, I say this, look at how God made you. Look at how he made you. Look at the things that get your heart going. Look at the things that you're passionate about. Look at the things that you are good at that no one else you know is good at. And I tell you what, God will use you through that to reach other people who are like you. I'm telling you, look, we're all waiting for God to write something out in the stars, right? Of like, we'll go outside and look up at the stars and it's going to say, go to Florida Boulevard 832, right, on Saturday morning. And what we don't realize is God has written on our heart the things that draw us, that give us passion, that we are passionate about, that we love to do, that we're constantly drawn to. And I want to tell you, God created you. He made you to like art, to like music, to like baseball, to like any of these things. He created you to like these things. So use the things, the way that he's created you to bring him glory. Use the way that he's created you to point others to him. As you are going, everywhere that you go, your design helps to reveal your destiny. Now, he gives you spiritual gifts. He gives you those divine appointments in the stars. He does these things. He speaks to you through his spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, a great place to start is look at how he created you. Look at how he created you. Your design helps to reveal your destiny. You guys ever tried to do a job and you used the wrong tool? Have we ever done that? All the men are like, yeah. I've broken a few tools doing that, right? When you're not using the right tool, it's a lot more difficult. You know what I'm saying? After the flood, we were remodeling the youth room. I used the wrong tool a lot, okay? We were building some countertops, and I had to get some braces in place, and I could not find my hammer. And I just used my hand, y'all, you know? And I woke up the next morning, my hand just felt like jelly. I used the wrong tool. I'm going to tell you what. God created you, and he has appointed you to be here in Baton Rouge, in this area, Denham Springs, Gonzales, wherever you're at. He's appointed you to be here in this place at this time, around the people that you're around for a reason. Because you are the hammer for that nail. He created you on purpose for this moment, for this time, for this place, for these people. So look at the things. When you're at whatever activity that it is that you've got, when you're at work, it's not a coincidence that you're working at that place doing that thing with other people who like to do that thing at that place. It ain't a coincidence. Discover your purpose. It's staring you right in the face every day. Discover your purpose. Believe you've got a purpose. Know that he's appointed you. And then have your eyes open. He's got a purpose for you. We got to discover it so that we can run. And the last thing, we got to use our purpose. We got to use our purpose. We got to use our purpose. Discovering your purpose is so much fun, okay? Discovering your purpose is so much fun. Looking and thinking about it and all that. But using your purpose, that's where the real fun is. That's where the real fun is. Some of you guys, you're like, okay, maybe some of you guys even here are like some introverts, and you hear me talking about being a prophet, and you're like, I don't want to talk to anyone, okay, right? Like, maybe you're shy, or maybe you're just like a tech whiz or something like that. That's fine, okay? Yeah, we got an amazing tech team in the back. Can we put our hands together for the tech team back there? Come on, y'all. But they're back there on computers, shut up inside that room, okay? Streaming the gospel all over the world every single Sunday for the past I don't know how many years. Yeah, we've had people message us from all over the world because of the work that some computer whizzes are doing back there. We had a guy message us from Pakistan asking us where the closest Victory campus was in Pakistan he could join. Might be a little bit of a commute, buddy. I'm sorry, you know. But the work that they're doing in there, walking out their purpose meant the world to that person halfway across the world. How did God create you? Look at that and walk in it. Come on, y'all. So we got to use our purpose. Use our purpose. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says this. He's talking about the rest of the world, and he's looking at you now. He's saying, you're not like the world. You're not like the rest of the world because you're a chosen people. Believe, right? Believe. You're a chosen people. You, the extroverts, the introverts, the people who are task-oriented, the people who are people-oriented, the people who like sports, the people who like art, the people who like computers, everybody, you. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, look at this. You can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Has God called anybody in this room into some marvelous light? Come on, y'all. He's called you. He's called you. We've got to step out and use our purpose. So look at, he says, you're a royal priest, right? You got a job to do out here, okay? You've got a job to do. And one of the things I like to say all the time is this, is in our church, every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. Every single one of us. Because look, once the lights go down in here, once we shut the air off, once everybody goes their own way, right? Monday through Friday, I'm working at a church, y'all. Where y'all working? Y'all got a mission field. Come on, y'all. We're up here, I'm rah-rahing you on Sundays, but then we're sending you out. Every member is a minister. Everywhere that we go, when you go into work, when you go into the grocery store, all the running we're talking about, run it with purpose. All that running, run it with purpose. Run it with purpose. Every member is a minister. So I say this, everybody redeem the work. Give it purpose. Inject that purpose into it. Because the truth is this, we think about work, we think about the job, we think about it, all that kind of stuff, but listen. You will never be satisfied making a dollar until you realize that you were created to make a difference. You're never going to be satisfied just making a dollar. Go to that place of work and instead inject some eternal purpose into it. Yes, provide value to people. Yes, make money. Ain't nothing wrong with making money. Only thing wrong is the love of money. Ain't nothing wrong with making money. Go do a good job where you're at. If you're a carpenter, be the best carpenter. If you're a plumber, be the best plumber. If you're the best HR person, be the best HR person. If you're working for the IRS, I'm sorry. But be the best at what you're good at. Be the best at what you're good at. And inject some eternal purpose into it. When you step foot through those doors, every conversation that you have, every conversation that you have is an opportunity. Because every member in here is a minister. Every single opportunity we have, every day is an opportunity. Come on. You will never be satisfied making a dollar when you are created to make a difference. And so this is the thing. I want to talk now about three purpose roadblocks. Because I think all this stuff is, I think everybody's like, rah, rah, yes, good, happy, wonderful. But we got to be real about the fact is this. When you try and actually do what we're talking about this morning, the minute you start to want to believe that you got a purpose, the minute that you are trying to discover your purpose, the minute you step out and you try and use your purpose and then you fall on your face and you mess up because we're human and that happens, these three purpose roadblocks are going to come up. I don't want to talk about them and prepare you for them before we go out there and try and put this into purpose, put this into action, excuse me. And the first one is this. First one is this. So let me put it this way. We got the three purpose roadblocks, but I want to look to what God has on the other side of it. The first one is this. You're not going to use your purpose. You're going to mess up. You're going to stop. You're going to be all because you're discouraged by your past. And I want to be real this morning because I know people have walked through these doors this morning. And you hear what I'm talking about, discovering and believing that you got a purpose and God created you. And you're like, I want to believe it. I want to believe it. But I look at the things that I've liked in the past. I want to look at the things that I've done in the past. I want to see, I look back and I see the people that I've hurt instead of creating value or pointing them to Jesus or impact. I see the impact I've had and it ain't a good one. I get that. I get that this morning. But I want to encourage you with something a little bit this morning. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, was a murderer. David, the man that God said he was after God's heart. He was an adulterer and a murderer. We got Paul, who was also a murderer, called himself the worst of sinners. But still God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament and to spread the gospel all over the known world at the time. I want to tell you something today. If you have a past, you got a rap sheet. If you're discouraged by that, I want to tell you something today. It's the perfect people that should be discouraged. Because you look through scripture and it's the imperfect people that God loves to use. You've got a past? That's good news, y'all. Because I serve a God who can redeem the past. I serve a God who can redeem the past. This is the perfect people that should be discouraged. Look at this. God has this tendency of using people who are broken, people who are inadequate, people who are messed up, people who are insecure. If you feel unqualified because of your mess, I want to tell you something today. With Jesus, with his forgiveness, with his purpose, your mess is your message. When you walk in your purpose, you're not discouraged by your past. Your past is redeemed. There is purpose in your past. I'm going to tell you something. This is not to brag or anything like that. I've never struggled with drugs. Never been a thing, okay? Right? Never struggled with drugs, okay? So I'm going to tell you this. When somebody is struggling with it, I don't think it's really me they want to hear from. I think it's somebody who is right there with them in the pit, and God has already pulled out and redeemed them. And now they're out of darkness, walking in the marvelous light. They've walked the path, and they're there to say, come on, brother. Come on. I know the way. I've been following Jesus out of the exact same pit that you're in. Your mess is your message, and God wants to use you for it. The things that I've been through, God's using me. He's using me. He's using me over and over and over again. And whatever it is that you've been through, he wants to redeem your past. And we talked about this a little bit last week, right? What he does when he redeems, okay? Right? Your past is washed clean. Your past is forgiven. You are a brand new creation. But I'm going to tell you something. All the mess ups, all the mistakes, redemption means he gives purpose to it. That's what it means to run with purpose. It's forgiven and it's given a purpose. You see exactly why you stumbled. You see exactly why you messed up. Because now you can declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Your mess is your message. When you're discouraged, realize That when we walk out in our purpose, we're not discouraged by our past. Our past is redeemed. And here's the second thing is this. The next purpose roadblock is this. Is you're distracted by earthly pleasures. You want to walk out your purpose, but you start to get distracted by things. You start to get distracted. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure, all right? God is the God who created pleasure. It's a good thing when it is in the right place, okay? You put the fire in the fireplace, that's a great thing. You put the fire in the middle of the living room, that's a bad thing, okay? Pleasure is a good thing when it's in the right place. But sometimes we use entertainment. We use all these amenities, all these things that we have in America 2025, and we just end up distracting ourselves, y'all. We just end up distracting ourselves. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 4. He says this in the parable of the sower. He talks about the seed that's gone out, his word that's gone out, the truth, right? This word this morning, right? It's a part of his truth, right? About how you have a purpose. This word goes in like a seed, but it says this, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Just like a plant that's down in thorns. Let me say it this way. Pleasure is a placebo, but purpose is powerful. That's how y'all know I'm a pastor. I just saw that, right? I'm going to say it again. Pleasure is a placebo, but purpose is powerful. Look, entertainment. We have had to create a term in the past few years for how much we watch entertainment. Binge watching, okay? People used to binge drink. Now we binge watch, okay? Everybody, oh, it's very quiet in this church this morning. So y'all stayed up till 3 a.m. last night, okay? Entertainment, I'm not going to come up here and talk about don't watch movies, okay? But entertainment in moderation is awesome. It's restful. It does a lot of good. But when it's not in moderation, and I'm not just talking about Netflix. I'm talking about these stupid little things in our pockets that we're on 6, 7, 8 hours a day, okay, right? This entertainment, if it's not in moderation, let me put it this way. I love this quote. Entertainment can be the devil's counterfeit for the life of adventure that God has for you. God has a life of purpose, eternal purpose, where you are impacting and changing the world around you with the gospel of Jesus. He has that plan for you, but entertainment is a counterfeit for it. The devil, if the devil can't defeat you, he'll distract you. If he can't defeat you, he'll distract you. And so if you are distracted by these earthly pleasures, okay, if you're distracted by these earthly pleasures, realize this, is when you're walking out your purpose, on the other side of it, you're not distracted, but you're focused on what truly matters. Entertainment's fine. Entertainment's good. It can be in the right place, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Purpose is what's powerful. At the end of the day, on the deathbed, ain't nobody been like, man, I didn't finish season 3. Again, I say don't watch it. I'm not saying that. But think about what truly matters. When you're on your deathbed, you're going to be thinking about this person I could have reached, this moment I could have had. Or we're going to sit back and we're going to be full of years, like the Bible talked about Abraham and David, right? Satisfied with the time that God's given us. Because we know we've walked out our purpose. When you're running with a purpose, you're focused on what really matters. And here's the last thing. Drowned by anxieties. That's the last purpose roadblock I want to talk about today. We just get drowned by the things that life throws at us. We talked about a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, a lot of problems last week, okay? And there's no denying it. There's a lot of anxiety in the world right now. At an all-time high even, right? Drowned by anxieties. But I'm going to encourage you in this. Discovering your God-given purpose, walking in it is the best, truest way to be delivered from the anxiety of this life. To see the eternal significance. And I'm not talking about the anxiety and the problems vanishing. Poof. I'm not talking about that. Even secular scientists have said the same thing. A group of psychologists in Eastern Europe released this study in 2014 that showed scientifically, okay, their research, not talking about even the Bible, okay, but saying this. that in Eastern Europe, depression, suicide, anxiety, all that are super high problems. They're high in America. They're even higher over there. But they found this, that having a sense of purpose in life, and I'm going to quote them here, served as a buffer against anxiety and depression. Depression didn't vanish, but they were able to get through it. And this is just from a secular standpoint. Imagine how much more powerful it is when we're talking about the eternal purpose that God has created you for. That the God on the throne of the universe thought about you, had a plan and a purpose for you, created you for it, and he's begging you this morning to walk it out. Imagine how much more powerful that is against the anxieties of life, the troubles of life, the strife that goes on. If you say to me, I don't know, I've been feeling down, I've been feeling stressed, I've been feeling bored. That's exactly how you should feel, I would think, if you're not actually walking it out, okay? And I'm not mincing words, and I'm not saying that that is the only time and all that kind of stuff, but I will tell you this, is that begin to try and walk it out. If you look at your life and you say, I don't think I have been, don't let this be the roadblock that keeps you from starting, okay? If you look at it and you feel like, I haven't really been walking with purpose, I haven't been pointing people to Jesus, I haven't been trying to discover, I haven't been looking at myself, don't let all the stress and the problems and the things like, that you've got be the thing that keeps you from going back. Because so many times, and I think a lot of the people in this room right now can agree with me, the minute you start taking that step and you start focusing on what truly matters and you start injecting purpose into every single step, just like we've been talking about all day, you start to be able to run with purpose. You're not looking down at the watch being like, oh, another day, I feel like somebody's stabbing me, I'm choking, all that kind of stuff. There's purpose at your feet. There's purpose in your heart. And you're like, yeah, today was hard, but I'm going to keep on going. I can't wait for tomorrow to get here because I got a new opportunity tomorrow. I can't wait to continue that conversation that I had with somebody today. I haven't seen the fruit yet, but I'm going to see it tomorrow. I'm going to see it next week. I'm going to keep on running. There's a sense of embracing God's design, being comfortable, right, with who I am so that I can have the biggest impact on eternity, right? You seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you is what it says. We worry about all these things. We worry about all these things that Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. Seek first the purpose that you have, the role that you have in that kingdom and making it come here to earth. Seek his kingdom first. And all these things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom. Drowned by anxieties. If you are drowned by anxieties, when you live out your purpose, you can rest in God's perfect will. If you're feeling just burnt, if you're feeling just stressed, if you're feeling tired, walk out his purpose and you can rest in his perfect will. And this is what I want to say. When you start to actively walk out your design, you start to see his design everywhere. When you start trying to discover your purpose and walk out your purpose, you start to see his purpose for you everywhere you go. It's everywhere. It's on you. It's on every single day. I got my kids in the room. Kids, every day before school, Rylan, what do we say before you go to school? We say that. Today's going to be a great day. Why? Because the Lord made this day. Today's going to be a great day because the Lord made this day. And listen to this. God didn't make an accident when he made you. And God didn't make an accident when he made today. And I'm talking about Mondays too. Come on. God didn't make an accident when he made you. And he didn't make an accident when he made this day. And this is the last thing I want to close up with is this. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You don't believe me about finding rest in doing more for God, right? Like, what? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and drowning. And oh, that's right. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest
for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, y'all. Amen. Now, any of you people who maybe grew up on a farm, y'all read that and you're like, that doesn't make sense. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What did Jesus say? He says, take my yoke upon you and I'll give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because the yoke wasn't a symbol of rest. Nobody on a Sunday afternoon, after you get home from church and you ate way too much at Piccadilly, you go get on the couch and then you throw a big old hunk of wood on your shoulders. That ain't a symbol of rest, is it? What's that a symbol of? Work. That's a symbol of work. Jesus says, come to me, you who are tired, you who are drowned by anxieties, you who are discouraged by your past, you who maybe you've been just distracted by earthly pleasures. You've got this just yoke on you, this burden on you. And listen, that's what Jesus is saying. He's assuming that you already got a yoke on you. Every person in this room, you got a yoke on you. You do. You got something that you're working for. Something that you're working towards. Never going to be a time where the yoke comes off. But Jesus is saying this. You get to choose who you're working for. You get to choose who you're working with. You get to choose what you're working towards. You can keep laboring after another dollar or after people's approval or after your own pleasure. You can keep working and striving and laboring after that, but I'm going to tell you what, that's the work that drains you. Or you can do the work that fills you. You can do the work that you were created for before time began. You can do the work that changes the world, that saves lives, that heals marriages, that breaks addictions. You can do that work by sharing the good news that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world and is risen again, and he will come back again in power. And that's good news for everybody. We can do that work. So let's look at it this way. Maybe if you walked through this room, your work's become unbearable. Co-workers, bosses, the actual work, I don't know. Maybe it's become unbearable. I challenge you this. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, just redeem it. Redeem that work. Inject some eternal purpose into it. Maybe it's not a workplace, right? Maybe you got a different kind of work, I don't know. Maybe you're a student, you're going to school. A stay-at-home mom, whatever it is. Maybe, whatever that feeling is. Of the work and the unbearableness and all that stuff. You've been running. You feel like you're running out. I want to challenge you, encourage you, pull you along, push you along and say, run with purpose this week. Have some eternal purpose. Make Monday a mission. Make Monday a mission. And I want to end with this. Living out purpose brings peace. It brings assurance. All that because, and here's the last thing. Bring up that picture of the yoke for me again. How do I know that this work, this burden, is the thing that's going to give you rest? How do I know? Because doing this, living out the eternal purpose, putting his yoke on you, brings you closer to the one who made you. Closer to the one who gave you purpose. Because look, the vast, vast, vast majority of yokes in ancient times when Jesus was talking, wasn't just a single yoke, it was a yoke like this with two yokes on it, right? A spot for two oxen to work and get some work done. And when Jesus comes to you and he says, take my yoke on you, he's saying, I'm right here. Get on the other side. This burden that you're carrying, let me carry it with you. This thing that you're going through right now, I want you to yoke up so I'm right next to you. So we're close. So whenever you're going through something and you're in the middle of it, you just look right to the other side. You know I'm right there. I've got this on my shoulders too. What we talked about, that scripture last week from John chapter 16. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart because I've overcome the world. I'm sharing that yoke with you. And I'm the God who overcomes death, hell, sin, and the grave. How do we know that our burden is light? How do we know that we can trust His yoke? How can I trust Him? Because He's already taken another piece of wood up on His shoulders. Because He's already taken the whole burden of the sin of your life on His shoulders. Because of the yoke of the cross, that other piece of wood. The fact that He took that for you means I can take that for Him. He took the nails in His hands for me, to forgive me, to redeem me, to show me that I've got that purpose so I can not just know it up here, but know it in here and start to walk it out. Because He took the wood of the cross, I'm going to take His yoke on me and I trust Him. I trust Him that whatever it is that He has planned for me today is the best thing for my life. I'm going to trust that whatever obstacles that come in my way this week at work, that He's right there by my side, carrying it along with me. I'm going to trust that He has a plan for me, that He knows the path that I need to plow, that He knows the people that are coming in my life, even that coworker, right? Okay? He knows the people that are coming in your life. He knows the place that you are. He knows the way He's designed you. He knows the gifts that He's given you through His Spirit. Now go. Now go. Let's pray. God, we thank You for who You are today. God, we thank You that You point us to our purpose because of Your ultimate purpose on the cross. To show us, to promise us, so that we can never have a doubt about Your redeeming love. That no matter what sin we've made, no matter what mistake we've made, God, You are there to redeem us, forgive us, make us new, and put us back on the path of purpose. So that when we're around others, we don't have to say, we did it. We can look back and say, God pulled me up out of that same exact pit that You're in right now, and He can do it for you. If He could do it for Paul and me, the worst of sinners, then He can do it for you. God, help us to walk out our path and our day and our week with purpose. Help us to walk out every day with one eye on eternity. Help us to walk out every day with Your burden on our shoulders, knowing that You're right there with us, that You've taken the burden of our sin, You've forgiven us, and You've made us whole and made us new. And we thank You for it, Jesus. And with every head bowed and every eye closed still in this room, I want to give an opportunity for anybody in this room who maybe you're hearing about Jesus and maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the first time it's really hit you about what Jesus actually did on the cross and the plan and the purpose that He has for you. And you want to give your life to Jesus. Everybody in this room, we have a commitment as a church that we're going to pray with you every single Sunday. And so if you're in this room this morning, the way you begin to walk that purpose out is you got to deal with that past. You got to let Him redeem it. You got to be honest. You got to come before God. The Bible says, real simple, come before God and say, You're right. Come before God and say, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. But I accept Your forgiveness on the cross and I give my life to You. And you just wait and see what He can do in your life. And if you want to pray for that in this room, everybody in the room is going to pray out loud. And we just ask you to pray these words. Everybody in the room, let's help them out. Let's pray these words out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank You for forgiving me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've made mistakes. But I give my past to You. I ask You, wash me clean. And I thank You for dying for me on the cross. And I thank You for giving me new life. I commit my life to You. You are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.